This is Jordan Seculo. The Obama administration telegraphs its next move against Israel at the United Nations.
Live from Washington, D.C., Jay Sekulow Live.
Are we likely to see added impetus, let's say, over the next couple of weeks to see the Secretary perhaps go to this peace conference in France that takes place? Would you have new ideas and something to discuss maybe at the UN or other forums?
Well, without getting ahead of the Secretary's schedule or his specific intentions on this or any other issue, I've said many times in the last several weeks that until he is no longer Secretary of State, this is an issue that's going to be important to him and that he is not going to stop focusing on it. Last week you saw that, I think, very clearly in a very eloquent speech about our concerns over the situation. So I'm not going to speculate one way or another about how he's going to spend each of the days that he has left in office on this or any other issue.
Phone lines are open for your questions right now. Call 1-800-684-3110.
We should block the sources of financing for settlements on occupied Palestinian territory, and in particular by drawing up a list of companies that operate on this territory, whether these companies are Israeli or from other countries.
And now, your host, Jordan Sekulow.
Welcome to Jay Sekulow Live. We are taking your phone calls, 1-800-684-3110, if you want to talk to us on the air. That's 1-800-684-3110. I'm joined by Than Bennett in our studio in Washington, D.C. as Congress gets to work. A lot of tough words exchanged today by the new Senate Democrat leader, now the minority leader in the Senate, Chuck Schumer, who has always been a tough actor, but is saying, you know, he's rolled out this new slogan trying to really threaten Republicans, and says, you know, hey, go and try to repeal Obamacare. You're going to, quote, make America sick again. Now, we're going to get into some of this in the show today. A lot of this is, again, rhetoric coming out of, again, sore losers, the Democrats, who are going to have a tough time stopping a lot of the policies that the Trump administration and Republicans want to put forward. They can delay nominations. We'll get into that as well. Important nomination hearings begin as early as next week for Senator Jeff Sessions, who has been appointed by President-elect Trump to be the next Attorney General of the United States. And there's been a lot of protest around that. We'll get into that with Than Bennett as well. But I want to start off with this new move at the United Nations. This is brand new, folks. Prime Minister Netanyahu has announced that he believes that there are signs that the UN Security Council, working with the United States, may attempt, and that means the Obama administration, to pass another resolution at the UN Security Council involving Israel. This is all before January 20th, when this is all still while President Obama is in office. Another resolution on the Israeli-Palestinian conflict in the coming weeks before President Obama leaves office. This is what they are looking at specifically. What will this action be? Number one, setting the parameters for a future Palestinian state with a clear timeline. So actually, a Palestinian state with borders. What will a Palestinian state look like? Instead of this being negotiated directly between Israel and Palestinians, this would be done through the UN. Number two, the establishment of infrastructure to enforce the UN Security Council resolution that was passed because of the U.S. abstention last week, which said the Israeli construction in the West Bank must halt. Now, what does the infrastructure to enforce that resolution mean? I mean, that can go so far as military, by the way, military force or peacekeepers, if you will, to keep Israelis off ground. Then they talk about setting forth binding guidelines, so geared towards passage and boxing in the incoming Trump administration, so that all of this has been pre-approved by the Security Council. We've talked about it. You can't just go and re-veto something. You'd have to put pressure on the UN, a great amount of pressure. This is very serious, folks. And even posting civilian inspectors in Israeli territory, posting civilian UN inspectors. What concerns me the most is the part about an infrastructure to enforce the UN Security Council. Infrastructure can mean people, can mean sanctions, individuals. This coming out of a Paris conference we played in the opening of the show, where Secretary Kerry has not yet confirmed that he will attend or not, but his spokesperson, Admiral Kirby, said specifically, listen, he's in this till the end. So we'll talk about it. We come back from the break with Than Bennett. This is serious, folks. Israel, very concerned. The Obama administration still has time to do damage to Israel and hurt the Trump administration. We want to talk to you about this. Give us a call, 1-800-684-3110. That's 1-800-684-3110. And go to ACLJ.org. Stay updated on all these issues. We'll get your comments on Facebook and Periscope as well.
This is a very critical time for the state of Israel. In a parting shot, President Obama betrayed Israel by using the UN Security Council in a blatant attempt to abandon Israel, slash its borders, leave it defenseless, and force our greatest ally in the Middle East to make dangerous concessions to terrorists before negotiations even begin. Palestinian terrorists have launched over 300 attacks on Israelis. We must not force Israel into talks with terrorists. At the American Center for Law and Justice, we're mobilizing our office in Jerusalem. We're preparing critical legal letters, documents, and filings at the UN, in Congress, and with the Obama administration. Sign on right now to our petition to defend Israel and stop forced negotiations with terrorists. Add your name right now. You can call 1-877-989-2255 or online aclj.org. It's a fact. Radical jihadists have one goal: complete and utter global domination. Hundreds of lives have been lost in devastating jihadist attacks, from Paris to San Bernardino, Brussels to Orlando. Islamic terrorist attacks are increasingly occurring at an alarming rate. In his number one New York Times bestselling book, Rise of ISIS, ACLJ Chief Counsel Jay Sekulow pulled back the curtain on a new unholy alliance of Iranians, Russians, and jihadists waging war against the United States and our very way of life. Now in his new book, Unholy Alliance, Jay reveals the latest in a centuries-long attempt to export Islamic Sharia law and radical jihad around the world. Get Jay Sekulow's new book, Unholy Alliance, The Agenda Iran, Russia, and Jihadists Share for Conquering the World. It's available now. Available on Amazon, Barnes & Noble, and wherever books are sold. You can also order it right now online at unholyalliancebook.com.
Concerned about and appreciate all of our audience or radio broadcast listening on local stations, Sirius XM. If you're tuning in and watching us on Facebook and Periscope, we appreciate that. We get your comments in via phone at 1-800-684-3110. And of course, your comments through Facebook and Periscope. Let me play for you. And Prime Minister Netanyahu of Israel, very concerned about this Obama administration action in the next few days, looking towards yet another action at the United Nations Security Council, folks. Another action at the UN Security Council before President Obama leaves office. So something, again, that President-elect Trump would not be able to stop because he would not yet be in office. This comes on the heels of what is being called the Paris Mideast Peace Conference. 77 countries coming together on January 15th, so next week. They're coming together to discuss a path for peace between the Israelis and Palestinians. What the Palestinians believe is that they will take that what comes out of that meeting and put that forward as the next resolution at the UN Security Council, that they will take those bullet points and action items. The U.S. has been invited to be involved. We don't have confirmation if Secretary of State Kerry himself will attend that late into the Obama presidency, but the telegraphing we're talking about in the opening of the show came from the State Department spokesperson, John Kirby. When he was asked directly by, obviously, a Palestinian news reporter, his name is Arafat, Saeed Arafat, but he was asked about specifically if John Kerry would be attending this event. Take a listen.
Are we likely to see added impetus, let's say, over the next couple of weeks to see the Secretary perhaps go to this peace conference in France if it takes place? Would you have new ideas and so on to discuss maybe at the UN or other forums?
Well, without getting ahead of the Secretary's schedule or his specific intentions on this or any other issue, I've said many times in the last several weeks that until he is no longer Secretary of State, this is an issue that's going to be important to him and that he is not going to stop focusing on.
So, I mean, Than, we're into the final days now. And the way that this State Department, where the way that John Kirby sounds, the way that he's portraying Secretary of State Kerry, and after the Secretary Kerry's speech, they are, instead of slowing down, it seems like they are speeding up. They are doing everything possible to get these moves against Israel done, while at the same time, and I believe this is to really trap the Trump administration, to disrupt the Trump administration. Something I said last week, you know, the Clinton staff back in 2000 election, were criticized because they kind of trashed some of the White House offices and in the old executive office building. They took W's off keyboards when President George W. Bush was elected. And of course, it was that election that went all the way to the Supreme Court, very close. And so there were some hard feelings there. And that was criticized heavily as a lack of class. This is not taking W's off keyboards, though, Than. This is fundamentally changing even the Obama foreign policy that was in place during most of his 8 years. It's changing that at the last minute in a way that makes it difficult for Donald Trump to reverse.
Well, at a bare minimum, Jordan, it starts a diplomatic war with our greatest ally in the region, Israel. And at the worst, Jordan, it severely undermines their legitimacy as a nation state. I mean, listen, I think Admiral Kirby underscored what Secretary Kerry said a week ago and guaranteed that there's going to be another action. And listen, just to be clear for our listeners, even if Secretary Kerry decides not to go to Paris, this peace conference that's happening in Paris, they could still take whatever comes out of that conference, say it's the world opinion on this matter, and immediately forward it to the Security Council, and the Obama administration could still play the leading role in not vetoing that resolution that comes out of the conference and allowing it through the Security Council. And Jordan, we talked about this during the break, but one of the interesting spins, if that happens, the most likely veto in that scenario might be coming not from the United States, but from either Great Britain or Russia. Remember, Russia was critical of the United States' position on this after it. So even though that would be a good outcome for this particular resolution, it would still cede U.S. power regarding our closest ally in the region to another major player in the world. Either way, Jordan, undermining the next president and diminishing the United States around the world.
And Than, I mean, that is putting a lot of faith in allies that haven't been there on this issue with Israel to step up. I mean, it was interesting. Yep. Both Russia and the UK critical of Secretary Kerry's speech, but yet both voted yes, which went further than what the U.S. did on that Security Council resolution. So, but you believe that there would be a chance that they would actually step in with a veto here if the Obama administration did not?
Well, a chance, but I don't want to oversell this, yeah. Jordan. I mean, just look, just 2 weeks ago, what happened? It was 14 to nothing with the United States abstaining, and we have seen this time and time again. When the United States stands down on matters regarding Israel, the rest of the world caves. So do I think it is likely that Great Britain or Russia would veto? No, I do not. But I'm just saying, based on the past recent history of this administration, I think it's probably more likely that they would than that the U.S. administration would.
Melissa on Facebook, she writes, the Obama administration should put their resources and energies these final days towards saving innocent Christians being killed by ISIS instead of attacking Israel. I'd say amen to that, except for the fact that the Obama administration has gotten itself basically kicked out of the discussions going on about Syria and the peace process there, and not just the ceasefire, but a larger peace process there being brokered by Russia and Turkey, along with Syria's President Bashar al-Assad. And guess who's not involved in that discussion, not allowed in that discussion? The Obama administration. Now, the Trump administration will be, but that, again, sets him back at a weaker point because you'll have these players who have already kind of set the stage. So while it will be a good thing to get U.S. officials in those discussions on the larger peace process, at the same time, the Obama administration, by the weakening that they have taken and the ineffectiveness of their foreign policy, has gotten themselves nowhere. I mean, think about a time. We are living in a time when Russia and Turkey and the Assad government can tell the U.S. government, butt out of the peace agreement negotiations. We don't want you. We don't need you. You're out. And we don't do more to even demand to be part of it. We are what? Leading from behind. And that is continuing on those real issues, the issues of real concern. That's going to continue all the way through the end of the Obama presidency. But you know where he doesn't lead from behind on? Attacking Israel. Anything he can do to help Muslims, he loves doing that. Doesn't lead from behind there. So if it helps Muslims, if it helps this radical leftist worldview of the Palestinian movement and a rebellion, as they like to call it, then he doesn't lead from behind. He takes the lead, and he's been doing that at the United Nations. Let's go to some phone calls as well. 1-800-684-3110 if you want to talk to us on air. That's 1-800-684-3110. Our phone lines are open for you. Sydney in Colorado on line 5. Sydney, welcome to Jay Sekulow Live.
Hey, Jordan. Happy New Year to you.
Happy New Year, Sydney.
Thank you. First of all, I have a question. Does the UN have the legal right to determine borders for a so-called state which has no government, no currency, established leaders. Does that carry any legalities? And secondly, Obama has been looking for a legacy. Guess what? This is the legacy he's going to be left with.
Yeah, well, I agree with you, Sydney. I think that, listen, can the UN establish borders? To some extent, yes, and not in all cases. So there are ways to legally challenge UN action. They have a court system, not just the International Criminal Court, but the International Court of Justice as well. But usually these are based off of the UN will look at various things like treaties, agreements between bilateral, so between different countries when they're talking about borders. Obviously, some countries have very determined borders for hundreds of years. Others are arising as we speak in the world and are still disputed. So they look at agreements, treaties, and their own actions. If they have kind of consensus, then yes, they can recognize that. Now, if they're trying to do it completely on their own, they can kind of go forward with it. The next question is, will they take military action to enforce it? That would be the big question here. Would they take military action and approve military action to enforce these borders? Now, I can't imagine that making it all the way in before the end of the year. And I could not even dream of the Trump administration not vetoing some kind of action like that. But let me tell you who they can't stop is the terrorist groups who, as I said on the show yesterday, which will already use and are using this resolution as justification for their attacks. See, they're saying the UN says you're illegally here, Israel. And not just, by the way, in Judea and Samaria, but also in East Jerusalem, where all of you that have gone to Israel visit on your trips. You're here illegally, so we can attack you, because this is our land, so we can fight to get our land back. They've given the terrorists a justification. There's no justification for terror, but in their mind, they've got like a legal document saying you are fighting against an illegal occupier. And that is something that they did not have before. We will continue to take your phone calls in the next minute of the broadcast, 1-800-684-3110. That's 1-800-684-3110. I agree with Janet on Facebook that Obama is doing more damage in the last 2 weeks than he has done in the previous 8 years. You know, a lot of that previous damage is going to be undone. Supreme Court vacancy, Obamacare is going down, whether the Democrats like it or not. So a lot can be changed. A lot of the immigration issue can be changed, the economy, taxes. But foreign policy is when he is really doing damage to us, and he's making it much tougher for the Trump team. I mean, we have to be very honest about that. Go to ACLJ.org. Stay updated on all of the issues we are concerned about and talking about. We'll be right back. We're getting into more also about Congress as well in the second half of the broadcast. Of course, a lot of fighting words today announced by the Democratic leaders. We'll be back on Jay Sekulow Live.
Imagine a global war on you, but your leaders refuse to acknowledge it. Imagine this denial resulting in hundreds of American deaths and a global genocide against Christians and other religious minorities. Imagine Russia, Iran, and jihadists around the world uniting to destroy us. This is the startling reality we now face. But it doesn't have to be this way. In his new book, Unholy Alliance, The Agenda Iran, Russia, and Jihadists Share for Conquering the World, ACLJ Chief Counsel Jay Sekulow reveals the latest in a centuries-long attempt to export Islamic Sharia law and radical jihad around the world. With detailed history, in-depth legal case studies, and expert interviews, this book reveals the historic problem and the pressing solution. Order a copy of Unholy Alliance today. It's available right now at Amazon, Barnes & Noble, and wherever books are sold. You can also get it online at unholyalliancebook.com. This is a very critical time for the state of Israel. In a parting shot, President Obama betrayed Israel by using the UN Security Council in a blatant attempt to abandon Israel, slash its borders, leave it defenseless, and force our greatest ally in the Middle East to make dangerous concessions to terrorists before negotiations even begin. Palestinian terrorists have launched over 300 attacks on Israelis. We must not force Israel into talks with terrorists. At the American Center for Law and Justice, we're mobilizing our office in Jerusalem. We're preparing critical legal letters, documents, and filings at the UN, in Congress, and with the Obama administration. Sign on right now to our petition to defend Israel and stop forced negotiations with terrorists. Add your name right now. You can call 1-877-989-2255 or online aclj.org.
Welcome back to Jay Sekulow Live. This is Jordan Sekulow. We've got a lot to talk about what's going on in Washington, D.C. We're going to be doing that more in the second half hour of the broadcast. Now, if you don't get the second half hour on your local radio station, let me just let you know that Sirius XM on Family Talk Channel 131 carries the full hour of the broadcast. Also, we broadcast the show and inside the studio. You can actually see me right now if you're listening on radio. On Facebook, it's through the official Jay Sekulow page on Facebook and on Periscope. So you can get that through Twitter as well. So many different ways to be involved in the full hour of the broadcast. Just to let you know, we're going to get more into politics, U.S. politics, and what's happening in Washington, D.C., coming up more in the second half hour of the broadcast. A lot of strong words on Obamacare and the Supreme Court by Senate leaders over the last, Democrat leaders over the last 24 hours, and even today, with a new slogan they're rolling out, trying to threaten Republicans about repealing Obamacare, calling it Make America Sick Again, is what Republicans want to do. It's the same old push granny off the cliff. I think it was Nancy Pelosi who said, you're going to have your grandparents living with you if you repeal this. Of course, now we live in a time when people can't get out of their parents' houses. So look at it both ways. Under the Democrats' plan, when there are no jobs for young people, they don't get out of the home either. So I guess, you know, it's a pick and choose, but it's a lot of rhetoric, as Dan will explain later in the broadcast. I do want to focus in on this Israel issue, and I want to go to Kirby again, because this is the praise that John Kirby, the State Department spokesperson, they love. Just so you understand the Obama administration, that speech, that disgusting speech that Secretary Kerry gave about Israel, barely talked about Islamic terrorism and Palestinian terrorism, that it was horrendous. But here, Josh Kirby, how much he loves the way the world reacted to John Kerry's remarks. Take a listen, Byte 41.
Last week you saw that, I think, very clearly in a very eloquent speech about our concerns over the situation. So I'm not going to speculate one way or another about how he's going to spend each of the days that he has left in office on this or any other issue. But I can tell you, because I'm confident what I said weeks ago, that until he's no longer in the seat, this will be something that he continues to work.
And Than, what we now know from Prime Minister Netanyahu's office, this has been reported all over the news now in Jerusalem Post, is that he is very concerned, the Israeli government's very concerned, that with the Obama administration's support, after the Paris Mideast Peace Conference, which is on January 15th, this is all before President-elect Trump is sworn in on the 20th, 77 countries coming together in Paris. John Kerry may be there. We don't know yet. Some U.S. representative will be. That after that, there will be a plan put forward to the Security Council all before, so from the 15th, before the 20th, before Donald Trump can direct anyone at the State Department or ambassadors, that will be put forward, that a resolution will be put forward, a new resolution at the Security Council that will set the parameters. I want to go through this for our audience who may not have been with us earlier in the show, that will set the parameters of a future Palestinian state. This would be binding, folks, with a clear timeline for negotiation. So it basically tells the Israelis and Palestinians, this is how you must negotiate. But really what it does is say, Israelis, this is what you have to do, because it go on. It will establish an infrastructure to enforce the UN Security Council resolution passed 2 weeks ago. Infrastructure. I mean, what does that mean? I mean, does it mean a regime of sanctions? Does it mean a regime of bureaucrats? Does it mean peacekeepers on Israeli land, you know, in East Jerusalem? We don't know exactly. This will all come out in these next, I mean, we're talking very short period of time. Setting forth binding guidelines toward bypassing and boxing in the Trump administration. So doing all of this before Donald Trump takes office so that it's very difficult for him to repeal this. And, of course, number four, putting civilian specters into Judea and Samaria as well as East Jerusalem. There's no guarantee the U.S. would veto this or any other country. Really, I think the U.S. would probably stand back and abstain. Maybe, as you said, Than, maybe a Russia or the U.K. come in and make a power play and say this goes too far. I mean, that would be the hope. I mean, we'd still put the pressure on the Obama administration. I mean, can you believe, Dan, we're at the point now? I look down, you know, it's the 4th of January, and we're looking towards the 15th, 16th, 17th, 18th, and 19th still having to be on this administration to make sure they don't damage our world more.
Well, it's a real shame, Jordan. Let me just start with that point because, listen, let's just say that happens. And by the way, that's not the worst-case scenario. The worst-case scenario is that this resolution goes through and none of the members of the Permanent Five veto it. But let's say that Russia does veto it. What will that will in essence mean, Jordan, is that our greatest ally in the region, Israel, has now had to go running to Russia and Vladimir Putin to defend its borders and to defend its sovereignty. It will weaken the United States and the world, and it will send a message to the other nations of the world that being an ally of the United States does not mean as much as it once does. And just two quick things. Admiral Kirby called that speech eloquent from Secretary Kerry. Jordan, that was a diplomatic attack on Ambassador Danone and Prime Minister Netanyahu. And he used their names specifically. That was a diplomatic attack on them. And the second point I would make, when he uses the word parameters, Jordan, and you made this point earlier in the broadcast, parameter simply means borders. This administration is going to try to define borders of a Palestinian state. They're going to try to do it through the Security Council. And Jordan, if they can't succeed there, they are going to try to do it unilaterally. Parameters simply means borders.
Folks, I think, you know, there's great comments coming in. Sharon on Facebook writes that Obama is not making it easy for the new administration. No, he's not. I'd say that what he's engaged in is a scorched world policy, both domestic policy and foreign policy, especially on the foreign policy side, because he has so much power there still until the final day he's in office with his commander-in-chief power. This is, again, he is someone who is going to stay in Washington, D.C., and I believe continue to meddle in the political discussion. He's not going to go away like other presidents usually do and keep their mouth shut for a while to let the next duly elected president of the United States have a chance with their agenda. And usually after a few years or so, they come back into the spotlight a little bit more. He has no plans to do that. He'll be right in Washington, D.C., and I think he's going to find it very difficult, as he's already said, to be quiet. He's an activist, liberal community organizer at heart who, you know, this kind of causes, this is what he cares about. So don't expect him to go quietly into the night. Let me prepare for the next segment, next half hour of the show, too. We've got a lot more to discuss, obviously, with the issue about Israel, as well as the what's going on in Washington, D.C. with domestic policy. We're also concerned about that. Obviously, we have a new Congress. We've got a Supreme Court vacancy. We've got Jeff Sessions' confirmation hearing for Attorney General coming up next week. We have the repeal and replacement of Obamacare already starting to get strong rhetoric there. So Than, of course, is engaged as our Director of Government Affairs. He's in Washington, D.C., so we're going to get into that more in the second half hour of the broadcast today on Jay Sekulow Live. And to follow all this, you know, this Andrew Brunson imprisoned in Turkey. There's been some more news coverage. Wall Street Journal, I'm going to do an interview after the show today with the Daily Caller about his situation. We represent that family. He's a pastor imprisoned in Turkey still and had his birthday, turned 49 yesterday in a Turkish prison. So pray for him and continue to sign those petitions. We need to stand with Israel. Go to ACLJ.org. And personally, my grandfather's actually, my dad's father is in surgery right now. So I just want to ask people to pray for him and for a success there. It's again, you could figure out his age, that any kind of surgery like that is important and can be a bit scary. So be in prayers for him. As well. I know that just to let you know something a little personal today. And one of the reasons my dad is not in our studio as we speak. One, again, to talk to us on the air in the next half hour, 1-800-684-3110. Be part of the second half hour of the show and go to ACLJ.org to stay updated on all of these issues. We'll be right back with our second half hour.
This is a very critical time for the state of Israel. In a parting shot, President Obama betrayed Israel by using the UN Security Council in a blatant attempt to abandon Israel. Sign on right now to our petition to defend Israel and stop forced negotiations with terrorists. Add your name right now. You can call 1-877-989-2255 or online aclj.org.
We will fight.
Jay Sekulow Live. This is Jordan Sekulow. We are taking your phone calls, 1-800-684-3110. Spent the first half hour really focused in on Israel. We're going to take your calls about that as well. There's a lot to discuss there about this. Yet another move to reset the stage for everybody just joining us for our second half hour. Another UN resolution that the U.S. would at least stand back from on Israel, much worse than the first resolution, happening before Donald Trump takes the oath of office. So the whole world is operating now to do things. Understand that. Directed by the Obama administration. They're not leading from behind on this one. When it comes to helping, you know, Islamic extremists out, the Obama administration is leading from the front. The whole world is trying to figure out, you know, around the schedule of Donald Trump's inauguration. And so they want a new resolution that puts parameters on the border with Israel, that puts a timeline for negotiations with Israel. We're talking serious. We're talking infrastructure in place to demand that. We're going to get into that more with your questions later, and we've spent a lot of time on that in the first half hour of the broadcast. I want to get into some of the domestic politics as well here in our own country. Well, we've got Than Bennett, and Congress is coming back. And Than, we heard, let me just play this for everybody right now, that from Chuck Schumer, that he is going to fight any nominee for the Supreme Court indefinitely that will try to hold that seat open. I'm going to play two sound bites for you here. Let's hear number 49 and then 51.
The Republicans took this unprecedented step. They didn't let President Obama make a Supreme Court appointment for almost a year
now. Very moderate mainstream nominee.
Yeah, a nominee who a lot of progressives would have been very disappointed in, actually, yes, even though he's yes, very widely yes, yes. respected. But that was an incredibly radical thing that the Republicans yep. did. Senator Jeff Merkley of Oregon says they stole a Supreme Court seat.
Fair statement.
Well, I mean, first of all, Than, let's just go to precedent very quickly. And this sets up now Chuck Schumer saying he's going to try to block a Supreme Court appointment by President-elect Trump indefinitely. You know, so for even 4 years, if he can. Precedent showed that in the final year of the presidency, if a Supreme Court vacancy came up, you let the next president of the United States fill that vacancy.
Yeah, far from being radical, Jordan. This is just what happens. In the last year of a presidential term, the Senate, if they're controlled by the other party, does not allow confirmations to happen. Essentially what they do, Jordan, is turn those decisions over to the American people to choose the next president who will then fill the vacancies. And it's especially important when you're talking about the Supreme Court. So what Senator Schumer fails to mention in that soundbite is that the American people had a choice. They could have elected Hillary Clinton. And by the way, the nominee for Justice Scalia's open seat would have definitely been to the left of Merrick Garland, the existing nominee, or they could have chosen Donald Trump and gone with whatever nominee he puts forward. The American people chose, and that gives the next president the right to fill that seat. Senator Schumer now says he's committed to stopping him. We will see if that can happen. But listen, there are 4 years for Donald Trump to put forward a nominee. I guarantee you that seat's going to be filled at some point.
So check this out from Chuck Schumer, though. I mean, this is just strong statements. Bite 51. He's on MSNBC with Rachel Maddow. So he's talking to the left in America. And take a listen to him.
It's hard for me to imagine a nominee that Donald Trump would choose that would get Republican support that we could support. So you're right.
And so you would do your best to hold the seat open?
Absolutely.
I mean, think about that, folks. Now, Than, they would have an option. You can remove the filibuster here. If this is really how Chuck Schumer is going to operate, and they already have done this to some extent with, as you talked about, the cabinet nominees, if Chuck Schumer wants to operate this way, then you can totally remove. You can go nuclear and just make it a majority vote.
Well, Harry Reid already did this, Jordan. Harry Reid said that he did not do it as it applies to the Supreme Court, but the only reason it didn't apply to the Supreme Court is because he did not have a Supreme Court nominee pending at that time. The very same mechanism that Harry Reid used to lower the threshold for other judges from 60 to 51 is readily available to Leader McConnell should he choose to use it on the Supreme Court nominee.
All right, folks, when we get back, we're going to take more of your phone calls at 1-800-684-3110. That's 1-800-684-3110. We'll talk more about Israel as well. Talk about some about Obamacare and the repeal. That's starting to come back into focus. I'd like to talk about that and getting rid of Obamacare once and for all. Sounds pretty good to me. We'll talk to you about it. 1-800-684-3110. Go to aclj.org. We'll be right back.
This is a very critical time for the state of Israel. In a parting shot, President Obama betrayed Israel by using the UN Security Council in a blatant attempt to abandon Israel, slash its borders, leave it defenseless, and force our greatest ally in the Middle East to make dangerous concessions to terrorists before negotiations even begin. Palestinian terrorists have launched over 300 attacks on Israelis. We must not force Israel into talks with terrorists. At the American Center for Law and Justice, we're mobilizing our office in Jerusalem. We're preparing critical legal letters, documents, and filings at the UN, in Congress, and with the Obama administration. Sign on right now to our petition to defend Israel and stop forced negotiations with terrorists. Add your name right now. You can call 1-877-989-2255 or online aclj.org. It's a fact. Radical jihadists have one goal: complete and utter global domination. Hundreds of lives have been lost in devastating jihadist attacks from Paris to San Bernardino, Brussels to Orlando. Islamic terrorist attacks are increasingly occurring at an alarming rate. In his number one New York Times bestselling book, Rise of ISIS, ACLJ Chief Counsel Jay Sekulow pulled back the curtain on a new unholy alliance of Iranians, Russians, and jihadists waging war against the United States and our very way of life. Now in his new book, Unholy Alliance, Jay reveals the latest in a centuries-long attempt to export Islamic Sharia law and radical jihad around the world. Get Jay Sekulow's new book, Unholy Alliance, The Agenda Iran, Russia, and Jihadists Share for Conquering the World. It's available now. Available on Amazon, Barnes & Noble, and wherever books are sold. You can also order it right now online at unholyalliancebook.com.
Welcome back to Jay Sekulow Live. This is Jordan Sekulow. We are taking your phone calls, 1-800-684-3110. If you want to talk to us on air, that's 1-800-684-3110. We're bouncing around the world, if you will, talking about issues like the Paris Mideast Peace Conference coming up January 15th, which could lead to yet another, Prime Minister Netanyahu of Israel, very concerned, another resolution at the UN Security Council that would bind Israel by establishing Palestinian borders and infrastructure to enforce the previous resolution about building, quote, settlements in Palestinian, what they call Palestinian territories in Judea and Samaria, as well as in East Jerusalem, even putting civilian UN staff on the ground to monitor the situation. We're talking a more dangerous resolution at the United Nations. No indication the U.S. would stop this, by the way. And it would come out of this Paris meeting, January 15th, and all would happen before President Trump takes the oath of office. But I do want to get a little bit to domestic politics quickly, and then we're going to get right back into Israel. Because, Than, we talked about the Supreme Court. We don't have a nominee yet. We heard the tough talk from Chuck Schumer. The truth is there are things available, tools available, options available to Republican leaders to make sure that vacancy and other vacancies are filled on the U.S. Supreme Court. If the Democrats want to filibuster all of these, then they can pull the nuclear option and put someone as conservative as they want onto the court. So that is one on that issue. But let's talk about next week as well, just a preview. Our good friend of ours, we've already spent time with and met with, both you and I did, with my dad in Washington, D.C., Senator Jeff Sessions of Alabama, who will be the next Attorney General of the United States. He has his confirmation hearings beginning next week. And Than, give people, there's protest already in his offices, sit-ins at his offices. This is probably the first nominee, the battle that we're going to see of the new in the new Congress when it comes to an individual. And this is happening before President-elect Trump is sworn in and takes the oath of office.
I think that's right, Jordan. The first nominee that will get his hearing is Dr. Ben Carson on Monday. But I think the first one that will really be opposed by Democrats is indeed Jeff Sessions for Attorney General. Those hearings, Jordan, as you know, are going to be Tuesday and Wednesday in the Senate Judiciary Committee. You're right. There have already been arrests made at Senator Sessions' Alabama office and a couple of the others as well, from protesters essentially doing a sit-in and blocking constituents from having access to his office. So they have given every indication that they will try to block Senator Sessions' nomination. Interestingly enough, Jordan, really on nothing of substance. To be honest with you, the attacks that are leveled against him is that he is a white man from the South, and there's an insinuation there that therefore he must be racist, leaving aside the fact that he actually was involved in some of the most severe prosecution of the KKK back when he was the Attorney General of Alabama. But those will be fairly intense hearings on Tuesday and Wednesday. And just a reminder to folks, and I think it's good that you set this up with the Supreme Court conversation, Harry Reid made that change directly to apply to cabinet-level nominations. So the Senate Democrats were the one that changed the threshold for cabinet nominees. Senator Sessions will only need 51 votes, and in fact, he'll really only need 50 because Vice President-elect Mike Pence would cast the tie-breaking vote in that scenario to be confirmed as the next Attorney General of the United States. So, Jordan, I do believe he will be confirmed in the end, but next Tuesday and Wednesday here in Washington, D.C., they're going to be pretty brutal.
Yeah, brutal days ahead, and it's been a while. You know, Congress has been out. The focus has been on the general election and the brutality of that campaign. Now it gets back to real business, not just words, but, you know, these words with consequences. We're talking about individuals taking significant government positions that come with a significant power. And Attorney General absolutely, you know, has that. Obviously, these are high profile, whether it's Ben Carson, Jeff Sessions. This is going to be a high profile week in Washington, D.C. next week, all before President-elect Trump is inaugurated. Now, we've got a question, Clarence on Facebook, who writes, Jordan Than, how can Chuck Schumer hold up Supreme Court nominees if Republicans are in control of the House or the Senate? Well, one, the House has nothing to do with these nominees. It's just the Senate that has that constitutional advise and consent role. What there is a filibuster. And to overcome that threshold, you've got to get to the Democrats have got to keep Republicans under 60. So they've got to have, you know, 51. So then the initial rule when it comes to the Supreme Court is if they can get an opposition of all of their prevent Republicans from getting to 60. So basically 41 in opposition, they can then stop the actual up or down vote on the nominee.
Yeah, that's right, Jordan. I mean, until very recently, this had applied to all legislation and all nominations of essentially any caliber, whether they be cabinet nominees or Supreme Court justices, lower court justices, whatever it may be. You had to get a 3/5 majority in the Senate to do what is called invoking cloture, which is essentially to stop a filibuster from happening. So 60 votes out of 100. Harry Reid, just a couple of years ago, changed that precedent. Now, when he did that, when he changed that precedent and lowered that threshold from 60 to 51, he verbally said that it was only to apply to cabinet nominees and lower court judges. But Jordan, the only reason he did that is because there was not a Supreme Court justice pending at the time. And the exact procedural tool that Harry Reid used to change that precedent could be used by the majority leader now, Mitch McConnell, to lower the threshold for Supreme Court justices as well. We don't know if that will happen or not, but to very simply lay the groundwork for what's going to happen here, as it stands today, a Supreme Court justice nominee would have to get 60 votes to clear that filibuster hurdle. However, it is not unforeseeable that the same move that Harry Reid used could be used in the United States Senate to lower that threshold. We're just going to have to see how it plays out.
Yep. So it's going to be a battle. We know that. The Democrats have made that very clear. And traditionally, honestly, folks, the Democrats have been better at these battles. They have been better at these battles. So it's time for Republicans to use the power the American people has given them. I mean, it's not like they won these elections. They are empowered at both branches of Congress and the presidency. You got to use that power. And again, I think in the Senate, they oftentimes they're too weak, too formal, not tough enough when it comes to Republicans. And then the Democrats have these tough guys in who, as Harry Reid says, he doesn't care. You know, and this is, I think, where Chuck Schumer is taking his lead is from their former Senate leader who is now retired. It doesn't matter if it's a lie or not, as long as it's effective for their political goals. And they live by those kind of principles. So Republicans have got to get tough to get things done. Now, on Obamacare, because I did want to cover this before we shift back to more of the foreign policy as well. This is what Chuck Schumer had to say. Now, he is going to be one of the leading Democratic voices now because he, without President Obama, he is the leader of the United States Senate for the Democrats. He's the minority leader. Very outspoken, very tough politician, been around a long time. Take a listen. They're declaring war on the Republican efforts to repeal Obamacare and replace it with something that actually works for the American people. Take a listen. Bite 55.
The first big fight of this new Congress will be over health care. Republicans are plotting and soon will be executing a full-scale assault on the three pillars that support the American health care system: the Affordable Care Act, Medicare, and Medicaid. The Republican plan to cut health care wouldn't make America great again. It would make America sick again.
You know, Than, that slogan, it's the push granny off the cliff. It's the same stuff we've heard now. It's making, you know, using Donald Trump's own campaign theme, trying to use that against him, make America sick again. The truth is, the Republicans have in place the stopgap measures. In fact, I think someone asked on Facebook, you know, what happens to the Joe on Facebook, which is a fair question, that those of us who have plans on the exchange, everybody has talked about that any repeal will include a, you know, time period, probably a couple years at least, where you can keep those plans and they will be replaced. So you're going to have a long-term window. It's not like one day that you have your plan through the Obamacare exchange and the next day, because it's been repealed, you don't. No plan even though Chuck Schumer makes it sound that way, is to do away with it that quickly. It's to do away with it with a time period that allows an effective replacement to be put into place.
Yeah, that's exactly right. It's not only factually inaccurate what Senator Schumer said, Jordan, but it's politically very thin ice because, listen, it happens at a time where premiums through Obamacare are literally exploding and millions of Americans across the country cannot afford those plans under Obamacare. So essentially what would happen once this Obamacare repeal is triggered, yes, there would be a phase out of those plans and those plans would still be available. But for those families who can no longer afford the Obamacare plans, what it will allow you to do is be relieved from that burden of the individual mandate and go seek a, quote, non-compliant plan, maybe, you know, free of some of the benefits that you don't need for your particular family, but would be more affordable for you. So Senator Schumer can say whatever he wants, but the plans that were going to survive on their own in the Obamacare exchanges will continue to be there until a replace package is passed. Although I will tell you, Jordan, even if the Republicans did nothing, a lot of those plans are going away because the insurers cannot afford to continue offering them. So Senator Schumer is distracting here. It's not in line at all with what the Republicans have set in motion.
Yeah, and let me say, Vice President-elect Mike Pence took this on today as well. He was at the Capitol. Take a listen very quickly by 52.
I was here in March of 2010 in another capacity when Obamacare was signed into law. I remember all those promises. We were told that if you like your doctor, you can keep it. Not true. We were told if you liked your health insurance, you can keep it. Not true. We were told that the cost of health insurance was going to go down. Not true.
You know, again, folks, we were all told those things, and it's why Obamacare, there's a mandate, Republicans want it with Donald Trump, in Congress and with Donald Trump, to repeal and get rid of this Affordable Care Act once and for all, making an asterisk or not even that for history and do something better. We'll be right back taking your phone calls on Jay Sekulow Live.
Imagine a global war on you, but your leaders refuse to acknowledge it. Imagine this denial resulting in hundreds of American deaths and a global genocide against Christians and other religious minorities. Imagine Russia, Iran, and jihadists around the world uniting to destroy us. This is the startling reality we now face. But it doesn't have to be this way. In his new book, Unholy Alliance, The Agenda Iran, Russia, and Jihadists Share for Conquering the World, ACLJ Chief Counsel Jay Sekulow reveals the latest in a centuries-long attempt to export Islamic Sharia law and radical jihad around the world. With detailed history, in-depth legal case studies, and expert interviews, this book reveals the historic problem and the pressing solution. Order a copy of Unholy Alliance today. It's available right now at Amazon, Barnes & Noble, wherever books are sold. You can also get it online at unholyalliancebook.com. This is a very critical time for the state of Israel. In a parting shot, President Obama betrayed Israel by using the UN Security Council in a blatant attempt to abandon Israel, slash its borders, leave it defenseless, and force our greatest ally in the Middle East to make dangerous concessions to terrorists before negotiations even begin. Palestinian terrorists have launched over 300 attacks on Israelis. We must not force Israel into talks with terrorists. At the American Center for Law and Justice, we're mobilizing our office in Jerusalem. We're preparing critical legal letters, documents, and filings at the UN, in Congress, and with the Obama administration.
Sign on right now to our petition to defend Israel and stop forced negotiations with terrorists. Add your name right now. You can call 1-877-989-2255 or online aclj.org.
Jay Sekulow Live. This is Jordan Sekulow. Our final segment of the broadcast. We like to get to your phone calls. Now, we spent most of the show today in the first half hour talking about Israel and another move by the Obama administration at the UN before President-elect Trump takes the oath of office. I want to get back to that. We have a lot of phone calls about that that have come into the show. We got into some of the domestic. We've got confirmation battles coming up next week. We've got the Obamacare appeal. We've got the Democrats' messaging now out by Chuck Schumer. We're going to be covering all of that. Ben Carson's got his hearings. Then Jeff Sessions for his hearings for Attorney General next week. So a lot to do on the U.S. front, but we still have to watch the administration, the Obama administration, because of their actions. We are now expecting yet another action at the U.N. Security Council before Donald Trump takes the oath of office. So while President Obama is still the commander-in-chief. Let's get right to the phone calls, those who have been holding on. Marie, calling in from Darlington, Florida, on line three. Marie, welcome to Jay Sekulow Live.
Thank you. I wanted to ask you two questions. One, why don't we get out of the UN? And two, why don't we shorten the days between the time the president is elected and the time he takes office?
Well, I mean, that would take a constitutional amendment. So the Constitution's clear on the date that the president is sworn into office, that where they take the oath. So you'd have to change the Constitution. It says the only time the day shifts off of the 20th, if that's a Sunday. So that would, again, take a constitutional amendment. I don't think it's not really been an issue before. You want to have that transition time. I mean, Than, what's important is having the time to put together if you do win. Obviously, you're always planning on winning if you get to that level where you're one of the two major party candidates. But you still need to prepare yourself then to become commander-in-chief and you build your team.
Yeah, I think both of us have worked on that transition period, Jordan. I mean, you really do need those weeks leading up to staff your government. And that's what we're seeing with this nomination process. And I would just suggest to the caller, you know, this is not really a problem if you have a chief executive that is doing the job that he's supposed to be doing. I mean, remember, the United States has a veto at the Security Council for a reason. It's to keep the United Nations in check. That's why we fund a majority of the United Nations. That's why we have that veto. This would not be a problem if the president of the United States would simply use the authority at the United Nations that we have. Now, we may have to pull some of that legitimacy back because he is abusing that power. But again, remember, the United States is voluntarily laying down that power through President Obama's actions.
And then I think there's a lot of people that question our involvement in the UN. It's certainly a body which you can gives a bad taste in your mouth often. I mean, they focus on Israel and they don't even address really Islamic terrorism. They've never even defined the term terrorism. At the same time, by being the superpower of the world, we're kind of able to direct by our veto power. So by being involved at the UN, we can stop the UN from doing taking the worst actions. Now, the Obama administration has historically failed to do that just 2 weeks ago. But that's why I believe we don't totally pull out of the UN. So long as we have that veto power, we can stop the UN unilaterally on our own as the United States from carrying out bad actions. And I think it would just get worse without the U.S., unless it was potential that the whole thing falls apart without our involvement. That's possible because we provide so much of the funding, which I believe Donald Trump has got to put on the table to pressure the U.N. to do the right thing on Israel. And I think our next call gets into that as well. Rick in Cincinnati, Ohio, online too. Rick, welcome to Jay Sekulow Live.
Thanks for taking my call.
Absolutely, Rick.
My question is, during the next 2 to 3 weeks, what options does President-elect Trump have?
I think what he could do, obviously he's done a lot on domestically, you know, he's talked to the businesses, the Ford plant. We haven't even talked about that today. Ford moving a plant, more jobs in Michigan, building cars. So you've got those kind of decisions. He's, I think, done a very effective job, whether, you know, renegotiating contracts or bringing businesses in, keeping businesses in the country. And that's upset a lot of people on the left. On this foreign policy side, he's been very strong. He's said what he opposes. He said the Obama administration shouldn't have abstained and is, I'm sure, against more. I think he may need to put out, and he said change is coming January 20th when it comes to the UN, so get ready. He may need to be, Than, a bit more aggressive in these next couple of weeks. He may need to say, listen, you can do this under President Obama right now if this comes to this second resolution, but you will not have funding from the United States government the day I'm sworn into office.
Yeah, I personally think he should do two things, Jordan. One, the one you just said, threaten funding to the United Nations for these actions. But two, I think he should make it very clear to the world where the United States, under his administration, will stand on enforcement of all of these resolutions. He should say, even if the Security Council announces a Palestinian state with defined borders, we will stand with Israel when they defend their borders as they constitute them. If it comes to a military conflict, if it comes to a diplomatic conflict, the United States, under my watch, will stand with Israel. That would send a very loud message to the world when it comes to enforcing these type of resolutions.
Patrick's calling in from California. And Patrick, you've been holding on for over 30 minutes, so we're going to get you a signed copy of Unholy Alliance. So stay on after your comment or question so we can get your address and get that book to you. Appreciate you holding on. You're on the air.
Right on. All right, thanks, Jordan.
You're
all right. And was it Israel given this land in 1947? All of the land?
There was a UN policy put into place in 1947, and then 1948 it became official. This, again, the recognition. Now, that does not include all of the land that makes up the modern-day state of Israel, or the what some call the West Bank, Judea, and Samaria. That was land Israel expanded after being attacked in three wars, where Israel was the defender and the Arab countries united to attack. So they, again, in this attack mode. So when they talk 67 borders, this is why. Israel, on the day it declared independence in 1948, was attacked by Arab nations. It won and was able to hold on to its initial land, which was smaller than today's modern state of Israel. It was then attacked again in 1967 by a coalition of Arab countries, including Egypt, Jordan, and others. Those countries, after their aggressive actions, lost badly. And in that war, the 1967 Six-Day War, Israel, in the conflict, in their fight with the Jordanians and Egyptians, by the way, we're just about 50 miles outside of Cairo, so could have taken over Cairo, Egypt. Did not do that, obviously. They had no intentions of being a power like that. But we're also right outside Amman, Jordan, which meant that they had taken the East Jerusalem and the West Bank, Judea and Samaria. And they decided that to defend themselves from more Arab aggression, they needed to hold on to those lands, both a unified Jerusalem and the areas in Judea and Samaria, to make sure that Israel was protected. So that's the 1967 borders. And by the way, Israel was right, because then again, in 1973, the Yom Kippur War, Israel attacked yet again by these Arab countries who failed miserably. But again, it's Israel who is seen as the enemy, as the bad actor here. Let me grab one more call before we finish out the show today. We've only got a minute left, but Randy's been holding on to New Jersey. And Randy, we'll get you a signed copy of Unholy Alliance as well. Thanks for being with us.
Thank you. Quick comment about what Obama sees for his future.
Yeah.
And I wonder what you think of him wrangling to be the next caliph.
Well, I don't think the president is a Muslim. I don't even know if he's that religious. I just think he's grew up in that part of the world. But I get the, you know, I think that get your comment. He almost seems like he could be campaigning for that in a way, the way he's treating this Palestinian issue. I think, listen, he's going to go from commander-in-chief to agitator-in-chief of Donald Trump. Commander-in-chief to agitator-in-chief, and then maybe one day he tries to make a push for that secretary general position at the UN. But there's a new secretary general that's there for at least 5 years and maybe even 10. So that wouldn't be something immediate. Folks, a lot to talk about the remainder of the week. We appreciate all your comments. Go to aclj.org. Stay updated. Keep my grandfather in your prayers. He's still in surgery. And again, stay updated. aclj.org.
This is a very critical time for the state of Israel. In a parting shot, President Obama betrayed Israel by using the UN Security Council in a blatant attempt to abandon Israel. Sign on right now to our petition to defend Israel and stop forced negotiations with terrorists. Add your name right now. You can call 1-877-989-2255 or online aclj.org.